Radio.
The God Who Loves You. A talk by Sister Hilda Scott at the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015, held at the Adelaide Convention Centre.
I know you'll think this is silly. I'm trying to find a place where I can stand where the lights aren't. But it's kind of not working. So, in true Catholic style, I will offer it up for the Holy Souls. Now, you're too young to know about them, but that's all right, I'll tell you that later. Okay, I think we're just about ready. Now, you put your hands up. Are you ready? Bingo, right. Then away we go. And the very first thing I'm going to ask you to do, except now that you're all sitting down and you've got things in your hands, do you reckon... I'll risk it. Hello, what have we got to lose here? Do you reckon you'd be able to just stand up? Beautiful. And just close your eyes. Now, because there are so many of you here, we won't be able to move about as we would normally do. But with your eyes closed, I'm asking you now, since God is all around us, to bow to the presence of God in this room. And now, still with your eyes closed, take your mind to the streets outside of this festival hall, because on the streets right now, there are people aching. There are people who don't know where they're going to sleep tonight. There are children going home to homes that are not home. And God lives within every one of them, and God is aching. With your heart and your mind now, bow to the presence of God in those people. God is present too, within the hearts of everyone in this room. In your mind's eye, turn to somebody else in this room and bow to the presence of God within the other. And finally now, I'd ask you to put your hands across your chest, because very truly, God lives within you. And with an inclination of your head, bow to the presence of God within you. And in that same presence now, just be seated again. I am moved to say this now, which isn't that which has been prepared. I'm going to say to you, as I look out on every one of you, I am profoundly moved that so many of you, with so many beautiful open hearts, should be sitting here tonight. And I'll tell you what, looking you dead in the eye, I thank God for the great gift of being privileged enough to talk to you tonight. Before we even get started, I'm saying thank you. Thank you. That leads into then why, in fact, you're here. Now, you might think that you've come down here to Adelaide, and heck, it's such a nice place, why wouldn't you? You might have thought you've come down here for a whole range of reasons. Maybe your friends were coming and you thought, oh, yeah, I'll be aboard that. Or maybe you heard, oh, yeah, look, it's a good time. So, yeah, I'll come, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, look, I'm telling you, let me tell you why you're here. You're here because for all eternity, God has waited for this moment. God has waited for this time in your life, because now, no matter what age or whatever you are, now, for every single one of you, God is saying, now is the time that I can tell you the only thing that matters. And the only thing that matters is that God loves you. That's why you're in Adelaide. You're here because you're ready to be told at a far deeper level, at a level that in fact could change your life. You're ready to know that God loves you. And let me tell you, there are a couple of things about all of that. You can be listening to me saying, yeah, God loves me, whoopee-doo. I've been learning about that since kindergarten. When I was teaching kindergarten, which wasn't exactly yesterday, that's a joke. Yeah, we're not going to get far if I have to tell you when the humorous remarks come. We used to say that the answer to every question in kindergarten was care and share and God loves you. Well, we can think that that's the answer all the time and forget that as we grow, our capacity to take in the love of God grows too. Before, when I was working out what it was that God wanted said, I said to God, so what do you want said? And because we're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I got plenty of time to listen to what God says. And predominantly here it was, tell them that I love them. Tell them that the dreams that they've got inside, I know all about. And tell them those things that they have never shared with anybody else, I know about. Tell them that I'm with them. And tell them that if in the time ahead they forget me, if they forget that I love them, it won't stop me loving them. I wish now that I had the words to imprint that on each of your hearts. So the premise straight away is you're here so that God can tell you that he loves you. And I'm putting out to you the challenge. You have a look. And when these days are over and you meet me on Saturday, you tell me, where have you found the love of God? Because he's going to be bending over backwards. You'll find it, you'll find it when somebody smiles at you. You'll find it when somebody is understanding you. You'll find it all over the place. That's what you're looking for in these days. Once you've got that, you've got everything. The rest of your life is going to take off like a rocket. But it's getting this understanding that God loves you. And see this white hair? I'm too old to lie to you. The deal with the love of God is that there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. God's going to love you whether you like it or not. How I wish I knew the name of every person in this room so I could put the name on it. But since it's the love of God that we're on about, I said to God, when I was saying, so what do you want me to tell them? I said to God, so all right, I tell them that you love them, but how will I get that across to them? I said. Now, you might think I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding you. And it came to me that the very best way is simply to take this, a story out of the life of Jesus, and you see it. Let's work through it for ourselves. Right, what I'd like to do is take the story of Bartimaeus. You know the story of Bartimaeus, the little blind guy? You know that one? Just shake your head. The answer's yes, sister. You know that story?
Yes, sister.
That wasn't convincing, but I'll let you get away with it. Bartimaeus was that little blind guy who was sitting by the side of the road and Jesus went by, or he was going by, he was actually leaving town. Now, as he's leaving, this is the shorthand version, he sees Bartimaeus, beg your pardon, he didn't see Bartimaeus, just says there was a blind man on the side of the road. And bingo, it's Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus and a whole encounter happens. The first thing we discover in that story is that Jesus was leaving town. Jesus had come and off he was going. Isn't it also true that Jesus has come to Adelaide with you? Is this not so? Yes, sister.
Yes, sister.
Beautiful. And in that time, a whole bunch of people are going to be there in front of him, and among them is yourself. All right. The first thing we hear about Bartimaeus is his name, Bartimaeus, blind beggar. The name Bartimaeus, as you know, simply meant son of Timaeus. We don't know his first name. Could have been Sean or Troy. There's a good name. Levi, Frank, who knows? Son of Timaeus. And you know what? Let me tell you something that you don't know. Every person in this room is the son, the daughter of somebody. More than two people have gone to make us up. You've all got grandparents, great-grandparents, and no news to you at all that some of us end up looking like one or the other. Now, my niece Kate, for instance, my father died before Kate was born. That would be her grandfather, way before Kate was born. And yet, she's the living image of him, fair dinkum. She talks out of the side of her mouth, just the way he did. She's got that capacity to get a telegraph pole to talk back to her, just like he did. It's not learned behaviour, because she never met him. It's just in her. Each of you, I wish, if there were a smaller group, what I'd be doing is buzzing around and asking you, so tell me who we, and now look, tell each other. Just look, turn to each other. Who are you more like, your mother or your father or your great-aunt Esme? Just tell the person beside you, who are you more like? Okay, we'll stop right there. Later on, you might like to ask each other that. Now, let me say this to you. If I could ask you, and it'd be really terrific to know, here's God's take on that. God looks at you and sees you for who you are. And God loves you for you. But by golly, you know, he can look at you and say, I love you because you're you. Do you know the way you turn your head? It's just like your great-great-great-great-grandfather. And I loved your great-great-great-great-grandfather. Double whammy for God. Or he can say, and I look at you and I love you because you're you. There really aren't two of you. But you know, hello, the colour of your eyes, just like your great, great, great Aunt Esme. And I loved your great, great, great Aunt Esme. Double whammy for God. I wish I had the words to describe what goes on in God when he looks at you. But then what about you? When you look at God, what would you like to see? Wouldn't you like to see two eyes that are absolutely riveted on you? Not looking around the place, not hanging out on your mobile phone while you're talking to someone, no, looking straight at you. And when you look into the face of God, don't you want to read there total understanding, total acceptance? Don't you want to look into the eyes of God and realize that here is someone who loves you as nobody else does? Wouldn't you like to look at into the eyes of God and see that he's going nowhere but with you? It's a big thing. God, on the other hand, simply looks at you and loves you. And that's what he did with Bartimaeus. Now, as it happened, I'm cutting the story short here, when he got right up to Bartimaeus, he heard Bartimaeus call out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now, Bartimaeus is using the right language there. He's letting Jesus know, "I know who you are." But the good thing is, Bartimaeus had the common sense to call out. I hope you've got the common sense to call out to God too. Now, I can't tell you what it does for God to hear the sound of your voice calling out. I've often asked myself, because, you know, like I'm really bright, that's a humorous remark. I've often asked myself, so how come Bartimaeus knew to call out to Jesus? Hello, how did he know this? Well, I figure because you're blind, if you're blind, your hearing's usually pretty good. So I figure that while Bartimaeus has been sitting there with his little begging bowl, I bet he heard snippets of conversation going by. Maybe he heard this conversation. Maybe he heard, hey, two people going by. And one saying to the other, you know that Jesus? My auntie's had this really bad back. Like she's bent over double like this, see? Couldn't lie in bed. She had to sit up all night. And that's been going on for years. So my cousin heard about Jesus, took her to see Jesus. Now, Jesus, unbelievable. He put his hand on her back and he prayed. And honest, I watched it. I was there. I watched her. Not a moment's pain since. Bartimaeus, he hears this. He stores it in his little database. If Jesus comes along, I'm going to see him. Perhaps he heard something else. Again, two people going by. One says to the other, you know that Jesus? I haven't had really a lot of time for him, but I was in Jerusalem the other week, had a bit of time to kill, and he was there talking to a bunch of people, so I thought, oh, I'll just sit down the back and see what he's got to say. But, you know, I was listening to him and it felt as though he was talking just to me. So when it was all over, I thought, oh, I might go and talk to him. And see, the reason was that something happened to me a long time ago. I never told anybody. Because you know how it is, if something happens and you tell someone, they don't always keep it to themselves. And I was too scared that they might think badly of me, and it was just easier not to say anything. And I've forgotten it most of the time, but whenever I remember this thing that happened, it takes the edge off my happiness. And I think, oh, I wish I didn't have to think about this. And when I was listening to that Jesus, I thought, I could tell you. So when everybody was gone, I went up to him and I said to him, excuse me, Jesus, you don't know me. Just wonder if I could just take 5 minutes of your time. See, the beauty is if you only say 5 minutes, if you get scared, you can cut and run because you only said you'd be there 5 minutes. Actually, I was there a good 2 hours and I told him everything. And he asked me questions, and he didn't ask me questions to be nosy. He asked me questions so that I could tell him more. I came away feeling like the weight of the world had been taken off my shoulders, because he really listened to me. You know what that's like, don't you? When somebody really, really listens to you. Don't not pretend listening, really listens. And this chap was saying, he really listened to me. And now when I remember that thing that happened, it doesn't make me sad anymore, because I remember the kindness in the eyes of Jesus. I remember that he listened. I'm a new person. Now, Bartimaeus, hearing that, of course he said to himself, if Jesus comes anywhere near here, I'm gonna get him, I'm going to talk to him. Now, when the people heard Bartimaeus calling out, they, of course, told him to keep quiet. Now, we haven't got time to go into why they told him to keep quiet. You can follow that up later. Jesus, he said, he called him over. Now, again, I have asked myself, because I'm like really smart, I have asked myself, how come Jesus heard him? There was a whole stack of noise going on. How come he heard him? And I think, and if a bolt of lightning strikes me, you know I got it wrong, but I reckon I'm right. And one day I'm going to write a book and make a couple of cool million. I think that he heard him the same way he hears you and me. God does not hear us with these. God hears us with this, because that's how love works. Those of you blessed to have love in your life know that if the person you love is aching, then so are you. You can't help it. That's how it goes. And if you remember nothing else from what I'm saying, I hope you remember what I'm going to say now. There isn't an ache in the human heart that does not find a corresponding ache in the heart of God. If you are hurting, so is God. He can't help it. He loves you. It's that same heart of God that had him there on the cross. Why was he aching on the cross? Because you're aching. All the suffering that you would ever know, even the little stuff, he took on. Oh, what a saviour indeed we have in Jesus. We'll just get back to this. I have, by way of explanation, I have a cousin, I have 36 cousins, but one of them is deaf. I was only a kid when she was born. She was born the same time as my sister, which is how come I remember it very clearly. Back then they didn't understand a whole lot of stuff, and they didn't do tests on babies to find out if they were all right. Frances was deaf. But it took my aunt and uncle a couple of years to find out what was wrong. She was the youngest of four, so they knew that something wasn't right, but they didn't know what. And they'd take her to doctors, but they didn't get any answers. One day, Frances was close to three, if indeed she wasn't three, absolutely, and my uncle let off an alarm clock at the back of her head, and she didn't move. And that's when they realised that she was deaf. So they got the best advice they could at the time, and the best advice at the time was to put her into a special school for the deaf. It was run by the Dominican sisters. Now, sisters, oh, hang on, before I say that. So my poor aunt bundled Frances up, three, onto Newcastle, which is about a 3-hour train ride from where they lived. Little Frances, being three, went to sleep on the way. When she woke up, Auntie Dorothy had carried her from the railway, from the station, to the big school. It was a huge old building, and in those days, nuns wore gear that was a lot more frightening than they wear now. So Frances woke up, and there she was, in this dark, strange place with these people that were dressed in stuff she didn't recognise. And of course she screamed. And poor Auntie Dorothy had to leave her there. Remember, Frances was deaf. No one could explain to Frances why she was being left there. Now, my poor aunt cried all the way home. The next morning she was waiting for a respectable time to ring the school and find out how Frances was. Before she could do that, one of those lovely nuns rang my aunt and uncle. And this lovely nun said to her, "Mrs. Scott, you'll be worried about Frances." Now let me tell you, I'll tell you the truth, she cried all night. But I want to tell you that I sat on the bed and held her, and I cried with her. Now, in my later years, I've come to understand that's a perfect image of what God does. You and I think that we cry our tears on our own. That's not true. It's not true. God sits on the bed and cries with us. Again, if you remember nothing else from this, I hope you remember this talk. I hope you remember that. The next time sorrow grips your heart, for whatever reason, maybe you'll break down and cry over something you did, and maybe you've been in the wrong. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter why. You're hurting. So does God. You're crying. So does God. Can't help himself. Why would he not hear you? And just in case the next time it happens, you say to yourself, God wouldn't be bothered about me. Just remember. But Sister Hilda told me. She told me, and she was only telling me the truth. God sits and cries with you no matter what you think of yourself. Maybe the truth is, the more poor an image you have of yourself, the more God cries anyway. You can test that out. Let me know in 10 years' time. And so it is then, did he hear Bartimaeus? Now he called Bartimaeus up to him. When Bartimaeus got there, what he said to him is, he said, "Now, what do you want me to do for you?" Now, you and I can say, "Oh, come on, Jesus, get a life, for heaven's sake, he's blind. What do you reckon he wants? Hello?" But that's not how God operates. There are some things worse than being blind, you know. Having sold your best friend down the drain, you'd rather be blind. A whole lot of things that are worse. And God, because of the respect
that he has for every one of us, he asks first. That's why we need to tell him. He won't come barging in. You got to ask so that you recognise it when it turns up. See, they agree. So I'm asking you right now, just close your eyes. Because right now God's asking that of you too. You tell him today, what is it that you want God to do for you? Okay, open your eyes. I give you my word. Jesus has taken that on board and holds it as sacred. You watch. He'll see it through. Now, as it happened, Bartimaeus, in fact, said to Jesus, "Master, let me see again." Now, I want to show you what happened. Do we have a volunteer who would be willing to come up here? Oh, excellent. Look. Oh, decisions. Look, I'll take the bloke that's closest. Step up here, my man. Yes, a round of applause. What's your name? Aaron. Good. And look, he's got a sticker to prove it. Are you a Mr. Oh, and he's a Mr. Meal Ticket too. Good. Aaron, just for a little minute, I'm going to ask you to be Bartimaeus. Do you reckon you could do that? Yeah, you can. Good man. Can you kneel down? Now, can you just pop over this way? Didn't you think you did that well? Now, I want to show you. I'm a bit hampered being with one hand, but we will do our best. Can you just kind of turn this way? Thank you. Now, Bartimaeus, he's kneeling in front of Jesus, and of course the first thing Jesus would have done would have been, he would have put his hand very gently on Bartimaeus, and this is why. That poor man's been a beggar. That poor man's been treated roughly. That poor man needs to know, because he's taken a huge risk, he needs to know that Jesus is going to treat him gently. Now, does that feel scary to you? He said no, that was the right answer. Watch what happened. He then put his hand on Bartimaeus' head and spoke to his father. Isn't it beautiful? Jesus came to tell us that God's name is Father. And then, after speaking to his father, with both hands, Jesus would have put his fingers just across Bartimaeus' eyes and very gently then lifted his head. And as Bartimaeus opened his eyes, I'm going to ask you a very obvious question, Aaron. Who were you looking at right now? Jesus. Me. Yeah. Exactly. When Bartimaeus opened his eyes, Bartimaeus looked straight into the face of Jesus. And what did he see when he looked into the face of Jesus? He saw two eyes that were riveted on him. They weren't looking all around the place. They were looking straight at him. And just for a moment, Bartimaeus and Jesus held a moment
that belonged only to them and no one else. Good man. Thank you. And you know what? Oh, how I wish I could make you believe me. When Jesus looks at you, Jesus says the same thing. We have held a moment that belongs only to us. And as Bartimaeus, when he looked into the face of Jesus, saw those eyes that were riveted on him and weren't looking anywhere else, so did Bartimaeus feel the acceptance and the great love that was all his. The end of that story is particularly important because the end of that story, Jesus does not say to Bartimaeus, "Okay, boy, now you've got your act together again, you've got your sight. I'd like to see you at the St. Vincent de Paul meeting. They meet at the back of the synagogue every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. You need to return to society all that they've done for you." Nah. There were no conditions, because there aren't any when it comes to the love of God. There aren't any. None. Jesus has paid all of that. So Jesus, no conditions on Bartimaeus. But beautifully what it says is that Bartimaeus then in great joy, he followed Jesus along the road. And as it happened, the road was going to Calvary. But he followed him along the road. If I could meet you in 10 years' time, I'll put it this way, if tonight and if during this festival, you grab a handle on the fact that God loves you personally and deeply, and if you take that back with you wherever you've come from, then you too will follow Jesus along the road wherever he's going to, and you will be happy people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I'm asking you once again to close your eyes. And out of that story, and you'll get to talk to others about this, but out of that story, if there is one thing that you could take and put in your pocket to take with you, what would that be? Whatever it is, tell Jesus about it now. All right, open your eyes. Tonight when you go to bed, when you crawl into bed, do some more talking to Jesus about that very point, about what it is that's caught your attention. Now, you might think we're finished, but you know what? We're not. Just another couple of things. To bring this all together now, are you up for a song? You sure? Excellent. You'll love it. Now, we're going to end up dividing, but it'll be okay. Be all right. Here's the song. See, it's one thing for us to be able to somehow at least open the door on the fact that God loves us. How much does it mean to God if heaven's above, if we turn around and actually say to him, "Yeah, I love you too"? And that's another feature of you being down here. God's hoping that you might actually turn around and tell him that you love him too. You've got the capacity to make God's entire universe. Hallelujah. All right, and in this song you'll see we're going to say that precisely to God almost. I keep going like this because my intention is in a little minute to divide you, but not yet. Here it is. I'll sing it once, then we'll all sing it together. It's easy peasy, you'll catch it. Simply goes, Jesus, Jesus, goes down. Let me tell you what I know. You have given me your spirit. I love you so. Come on. Jesus, Jesus, let me tell you what I know. You have given me your spirit. I love you so. Okay, let's hear it again. And then you are going to be amazed when you hear what you're going to do with this. Off you go. Jesus, Jesus, let me tell you what I know. You have given me your spirit. I love you so. You're good. You do it and ignore me. Off you go. Louder. Jesus, Jesus, let me tell you what I know. You have given me your spirit. I love you so. You are good. Okay, we're going to divide it. Roughly down there. Yeah, that's it. Good man. So that side and then that side. You got it? Yeah. That's pretty good. Ooh, righto. You lot can start. One, two, three. Off you go. Oh, sorry. Should have said hello. We'll do it three times. I was going to say we'll do it three times, right? Okay. Jesus, Jesus, loud as you like. Yes, Jesus, let me tell you what I know. You have given me your spirit. I love you so. Jesus, 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 let me tell you what I know. You have given me your spirit. I love you so. I love you so. That was beautiful. How I wish that we could say to Jesus, so, what'd you think? I reckon you've just made God's day. And I started out by saying to you that when I said to God, what do you want me to tell them? The answer was, tell them that I love them. If I said now, and I do say now, so Jesus, what do you want them to know now? His answer would be, Thank you. All I want is to be given a place in your heart. It's all I want. I'm hopeful that you'll change the world, but it doesn't matter. I just want a place in your heart. And you've been here. Thank you. And I think on that note, I think you can go.
That was The God Who Loves You with Sister Hilda Scott. This talk is from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015 and was recorded as a collaboration between XT3 and Cradio. And for more from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival, and for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.